program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back. Wow, that's hot. That's a hot mic. All right. Good evening and welcome back to another edition of I'm Speaking Plenty. If you guys are missing the OJs tonight, we got a little computer change up with the new year. We get some new equipment and it's slowly being integrated into the system. So expect that we may have, from time to time, some technical difficulties tonight. Joining me in the studio, Karen Morton, visiting once again, second week. We didn't finish all the things that I wanted to talk about, and then all of a sudden, I just, on a spur of the moment, I figured, okay, the government's shut down. He's not doing anything anyway. Might as well call in some of our taxpayer dollars, get a few favors there.
Really,
I pick up the phone.
Got nothing else to do.
Now, let me tell you, when I was a kid at Sandalwood High School, scrimping and saving, flipping burgers at McDonald's, going down to work at the Space Center, I never envisioned that in my mid to late 50s that I'd be able to pick up the phone, mm-hmm. call a congressman's private cell phone,
yep.
and say, hey, man, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
And I did. So yeah. If you can hear the jovial chuckle in his voice, joining me in the studio tonight is Congressman John Rutherford, who is always willing to come in to the show and sit down and talk with us, has been since he was sheriff, and I hope will continue going forward even up until the time he becomes president.
Oh, there you go.
I thought you were my friend, Bill.
No. You don't want to be president? Come on. Dealing with all the technical difficulties, and of course, not mic'd up, but here lending a great deal of support. I never introduce Karen's husband, Ray. You'll hear him in the background every once in a while, but he comes in just about every time Karen's in and sits here faithfully and drinks black coffee and stays amped up and keeps us on track whenever we're wrong.
Yay.
Obviously, the callers are going to be wanting to know what your feelings are regarding the shutdown. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're campaigning too, right? You've got another issue coming up next.
Well, we just ran.
You just finished through your cycle.
Ran. So I'm in for another 2 years. Thanks to the good people of Northeast Florida.
I can't think that anybody is going to be disappointed by that for sure. As you see me thumbling through here before my phone goes off because someone calls me and you hear my message in the background. I get so amped up when Congressman Rutherford's in the studio, I forget to do some of the housekeeping things that are required. Everyone has some misconceptions about the government shutdown. For the most part, the mainstream media plays up the idea, okay, the government shut down, 25% of all federal employees are out of work. But for the most part, when Senate comes back into session, generally they vote for back pay. They always have in the past.
Right.
So folks really aren't losing money.
No,
right now they're being inconvenienced.
Right.
And look,
it does create difficulties, though, for individual
if they're not prepared for it.
Because they may get paid down the road, but right now they're going without a paycheck.
You know, I heard an interesting interview on the CBS affiliate this morning that was interviewing a young lady that works in one of the cafeterias at one of the parks. At one of the parks that's closed.
Yeah.
And they're out of work.
Yep.
And they are in a job that's not a high-paying job to begin with. She's basically a restaurant worker. And when the park is closed, the restaurant's closed, and the restaurant's closed, they get no money.
Right.
And if they don't plan for it, now here's the smart thing. Here's a woman that, and I don't know her, and hopefully she's not listening to the show, so I insult her, but she's a restaurant worker, similar to many other restaurant workers who live from hand to mouth, except she was an exception. She had been through so many of these shutdowns in the last 13 or 14 years she had worked in this program, or in this facility. That She was prepared for it. So they just don't spend their whole check. And they have a float. And then if they have to go into that float, they take that float. But then as soon as they start getting a check again, they rebuild that float, which is common sense. And you would think most people would do that. But the vast majority of folks out there are living from hand to mouth, and they don't.
Right. And that's one reason it's hard on these federal employees when we go into these things. And it's also hard on a lot of other folks, too. I mean, you don't think about it, but for example, you know, people that plan to come to St. Augustine to go to the fort, and it's closed.
Right.
You know, and they may have traveled from Canada, you know, wherever from the, in, within the United States. And
was it a good thing? Was it circumventing the chain of command, for lack of a better analogy, that the state of New York funded keeping the Statue of Liberty open? Do you think that was a good idea or a bad idea, or is it set a bad example? Or
I think if the state wants to do that, that's certainly within their prerogative. I don't think it's a bad idea.
How do we, you know, I've seen the tapes of Schumer, Pelosi, Feinstein, all of these folks talking less than 10 years ago. I don't want to say less than, well, let's say between 10 and 15 years ago,
right.
that immigration needed to get a handle on immigration, needed to get a more well-defined way of letting people into this
country.
Needed
to secure the border and build a wall.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then now, with the exception of Feinstein, who's not gone out publicly too much, the rest are claiming that, oh, this is inhumane, we can't do this. So, how do they not see these news clips?
They're even calling it immoral now.
Right. How do they not see these news clips?
Well,
do they see them and choose not to listen to
this? This is about one thing, and that is not giving Trump a win on what was a major campaign promise.
Exactly.
I mean, not a single campaign event that I ever see him at that he did not encourage. You know, it was build that wall.
Right.
The whole place would be chanting build that wall, and. Yeah, so I think they're incredibly disingenuous on what they're doing. I will say, though, I think the Republicans also, we didn't do our best back in the summer and fall when we had a chance to pass the Goodlatte bill, immigration bill, that, well, the first one or the second one, which would have secured the border, not $5 billion, $25 billion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. $25 billion. We would have gotten rid of chain immigration. We would have brought in E-Verify, merit-based immigration. You know, did away with the immigration lottery. I mean, secured the border. Was I think 5,000 more CBP officers. $25 billion.
Right.
What the Democrats would have gotten in return was, as soon as that money was put in the lockbox, the 1.2, well, it started out at 1.2 million DACAs and others, and then the president said, no, let's give them 1.8. So we bumped it up to 1.8. Would actually get legal permanent residency. They become LPAs, LPRs. So they get legal permanent residency. That means they can work, pay taxes, do all those things. They get to stay here. Once the border is secure, that would trigger them getting a green card. Then they would go to the end of the line and get in the process like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And
we couldn't pass it on our side.
Yeah,
that's disappointing.
Explain that one.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to delve into this a little bit further when we get back, and the idea that there's another 15,000 plus that are massing in Honduras now that are going to start caravan two toward the border. In many ways, I have the understanding or the belief that these folks are going to continue to flood and push at the border until they find a weak spot and then just flood over and disappear into the crowd. And
they're already finding weak spots. I mean, if you look at the seizures, they are up significantly.
Congressman John Rutherford joining us. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Hi, this is Pastor Angel, asking you to invite your friends who speak Spanish to tune in to our Sunday Spanish programming here on WBOB. Sundays at 5 p.m., The Season with Jesus, right after the Spanish broadcasting of the Jaguars game. Every Sunday, there will be a different topic presented by our team of local Spanish-speaking pastors teaching God's Word to members of the Spanish-speaking community. So don't miss A Season with Jesus, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, Jacksonville Jaguars face the Houston Texans. Broadcast starts 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Hey, this is Anita Hiles with Rapid Fire Real Estate, and I have some fantastic news. Effective January 2019, we are moving to prime time. That's right, we will be live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I will be ready for your commute home. So you want to tune in, because we will still bring you the latest trends in Jacksonville and keep you updated on what's happening around the area. Each week, we'll have different professionals, whether it be a lawyer, a lender, or anyone in between. Rapid Fire Real Estate, live every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I rushed out of that tease out because, like I said, the computer is doing some weird things on us tonight. You heard the music come in rather quickly. Believe me, Tom is doing everything he can over in Master Control to make us sound normal, and he's doing
yeah, that's going to be a good trick.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
He's doing a yeoman's
job. I always wanted to be normal.
Yeah.
So far, I've made a 20-minute mistake.
Okay, now wait a minute. That was a direct dig at me. I'm not so stupid I didn't figure that one out. I was born, but not yesterday.
I've anyway. Always wanted to sound normal.
So, Congressman John Rutherford joining us here in the studio, along with Karen Morton, former chairman of the Republican Executive Committee, and she and I are going to interact. We have Congressman Rutherford here for about an hour. I guess something I've wanted to ask you, I personally believe, going back to when we were in the old building and you were sheriff and you came on my show when we were on 9 o'clock in the morning, I personally believe that I know you.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask this question. Have you had difficulty not turning into what lives inside the Beltway up there? Obviously, as a sheriff, you're used to observing people.
Yeah.
And now as a congressman, there's got to be some bad stuff going on up there.
No, I don't think it's hard not to become part of the swamp, because you just do what comes natural to you. But, you know, what I have discovered is how hard the rules make it to do the right thing. And, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do, because I'm, you know, I'm a very pragmatic guy. Going back to this issue about the immigration bill, mm-hmm. the Goodlatte 1 and Goodlatte 2, which dealt with all of those immigration issues and the deal that we could have cut to get not $5 billion, but $25 billion that would have truly secured the southern border.
Right.
That was voted down by our own party, not getting on board because they were ideologues. And they said, no, you've got this 10 or 15-year plan that's going to give all of these undocumented illegal aliens amnesty. Well, it's not really amnesty because we're not waving a wand and giving it to them. We're getting something. They're getting something. Then they get a green card and they go to the end of the line just like they were back in their own country.
It was a good compromise.
Exactly. It was a great compromise. And as I told some of those ideologues, I said, look, guys, here's the problem. I don't care what you do to fix this thing right now. If you don't secure the southern border first, you can send all 12 million back. But if you don't secure the southern border first, they'll be right back here in 2 or 3 years.
Classic example, the gentleman that just shot that young police officer out in California.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that. That sanctuary city. Yeah.
He'd been taken across the border three times.
It's horrible, Bill. And let me tell you, I had a 287G program in this city when I was sheriff.
Right.
We looked for illegals within our jail system when they got arrested. We actually partnered with ICE, got our officers trained so that we could use their information, their databases, to determine these folks' legal residency. And then we could begin deportation process without even having to call ICE.
Right.
We never let anybody go back to the street that we wanted to deport. We called ICE. And I'm going to tell you, these sheriffs, and I listened to that sheriff out there, and I feel for him. He lost an officer. But I'm going to tell you, I just believe if I was in that situation, I could find a way around any law to get the information to ICE that I need to get to them to keep my community safe. I'll find a way around that.
You know, the young man that just died in CPB custody, the little boy.
Yeah.
He and his father were both American citizens, and the mother was not. And they came to the border to get him medical treatment for, I'm not exactly sure what his affliction was, but apparently the flu is what ultimately took him out.
Yeah.
When it looked as though he was going downhill, he made it to a hospital with his father. Mother was rejected at the border. When it looked as though he was going downhill, they gave her a quick status so that she could come into the mm-hmm. hospital and right. see her son the last week that he was alive. That is the kind of arrangements or exceptions that
it
I want to
made.
See made.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The
yep.
idea that you get with 4,000 of your closest friends and you just march all the way to the yeah. border
and bum rush the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess for as bad as we on the inside, we see poverty. We see racism. We see divisiveness. We see factories closing. All of that stuff that we see as Americans and have grown up in the American society, they look at it as still the great end-all, beat-all to their problems. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how bad it is in America, it's still 10 times better than where they came
from. Right.
How do we, other than the wall, how do we stop it?
Well, let me tell you, I was just down in South America and Central America, and I can tell you, I think we have taken our eye off the ball in our own hemisphere. I visited Suriname, Guyana, Honduras,
wow,
Brazil, and I can tell you, when I was in Honduras, it was a congressional delegation. We actually met with the president, President Juan Orlando Hernandez. We also met with Ana Garcia Carillas.
Okay. Yeah, you're not Latin.
The first lady. And she talked then, this was in the summer. She talked about a project that she's setting up. It's an immigration program to try and stop Hondurans from leaving Honduras and coming to America or even Mexico. And the reason is the GDP of Honduras, 20% of their GDP is remittances from the United States.
Wow.
There are more Hondurans in America than in Honduras.
Right.
And wow. so that's why she's appealing through this immigration program, you know, for people to stay there, particularly the young, bright people, to stay there and help them solve their own problems.
You know,
now, and there's a lot of good work being done in Honduras. And, you know, we had some tremendous success in Colombia. They're trying to replicate that now over in Honduras. The Honduran National Police had grown to a number like 14,000. They went through and did what they called a purge, where they just went through and looked at officers and said, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. They fired 5,000 police, and their murder rate went down.
What?
Wow, yeah. Corrupt police?
Corrupt police.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The approval of their police went from like, don't hold me to these numbers, but it was something like 20% to 60%. And now what they're struggling with is their courts and the prosecution. And we actually had a chance to meet with, I think they call him the president of their courts. It's kind of like our Supreme Court, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they have created an international group called MACHI, M-A-C-C-H-I, which is looking at the court system. And I questioned at that point to that member, the head of MACHI, I said, well, you know, the purge process seemed to work pretty well for the police. I think you ought to consider that for prosecution and courts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't too well received by the judicial member sitting there, but I do believe that, you know, they are really working hard trying to solve some of these problems that they have down there, and we need to continue to work with them on those.
You mentioned E-Verify, and something that I have touted on the show continuously, that we are part of our own problem when we pay the pool boy under the table or in cash, when we pay the lawn service guy under the table or in cash. E-Verify was tried about 10, maybe 12 years ago, and was not well received because it was a voluntary thing.
Well, don't hold me to the number, but there are several states that require E-Verify.
It should be a national thing.
It should be.
Every state that borders Florida and going up in, like, I believe like seven contiguous states outside of Florida all have E-Verify.
Yeah. And here's why E-Verify is important. People correctly point out that, look, 60% of our illegal immigration problem is overstay visas.
Right.
Those people are flying into the country, most of them, and overstay their visa. And the E-Verify system is one of the ways that we can identify them and get them out of the country. It's also, 287G is also a way that we can identify them and get them out of the country, which I did as sheriff for, you know, and some of them I had to get out of the country, you know, multiple times.
You know, there are a lot of countries around the world that do a better job at controlling people coming in than we do. In the Bahamas, if you're a general aviation pilot and you fly in, they ask you when you're going to leave.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, we're going to leave Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. If Tuesday afternoon, they still have you on the computer.
They're looking for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not hard for them to find you on an island.
We have to do a better job. And what E-Verify will do, it will shut down some of the magnet that's bringing these folks here. Because as I just said, 20% of the GDP for Honduras, 20% of their GDP is remittances from the United States.
We're going to talk about that. I really want to get into that when we get back. I just said Sheriff John Rutherford in my mind.
That's okay.
Congressman John Rutherford joining us here on I'm Speaking Plainly along with Karen Morton. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes and join us on the backside, won't you? This is I'm Speaking Plainly.
AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Homeland Security says U.S. Border Patrol leadership has instituted more thorough medical screenings for migrants after two Guatemalan children died this month in government custody. More in-depth initial health exams will be performed and secondary medical screenings have been established. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was briefed on the new procedures today in Arizona, where she is meeting with border staff. President Trump tweeted today he's in the White House waiting for Democrats to come over and make a deal on border security, but there's little direct contact between either side during the stalemate, which is entering its second weekend with no clear end in sight. A man forced open a locked gate on the security perimeter of Hanover Airport in northern Germany and drove a car onto the airfield today before coming to a halt underneath an airliner and being detained. No one was hurt, but flights were suspended for more than 4 hours. This is SRN News.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Right now, Butler Beach and Atlantic Boulevards are all busy from the Intracoastal Waterway to 3rd Street. On the south side, the East Beltway, both directions, traffic's congested from Butler Boulevard to Phillips Highway. Mostly cloudy tonight and through the weekend. Overnight down to 63, upper 70s tomorrow, sunny Monday and 78. Cloudy and 67 now in Jacksonville at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. When we went into break, and Congressman John Rutherford joining me in the studio along with Karen Morton, we talked about some of the money that's flowing out of our country, and I quoted this figure. Karen, it was about two shows ago, I guess. I think you were even in the studio. Maybe Schellenberg was in here.
Yeah, sure.
$4.1 billion with a B flows out of the United States every year.
Yeah, we were there.
To Latin American countries. Flows out $4.1 billion. It seems like
now, does that include
that's just from Western Union.
Yeah. Does that include the international cartel money?
I have no idea. All I know is that that's from Western Union was the figure. Now, yep. Bank of America has offices in various countries in Latin America mm-hmm. where you can have a bank account in the United States and transfer money to mm-hmm. Pablo, Manuel, Loretta, whoever right. in South America. And there's no penalty there. Western Union, you go down, you work all week throwing sod or mowing grass. Mm-hmm. You cash your check at the check cashing place and put it on Western Union and send it down south. It seems like we ought to be able to pick out countries. Like you said, Honduras, 20% mm-hmm. are receipts from the United States.
Right.
Why not put an extra tax on Western Union sending money to Honduras?
The president talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, he and I think alike.
See, you guys
he and I think alike.
There we go.
I've been talking that for 4 years.
And here's the thing. I bet he couldn't run a radio show like you.
Would that get Pat? Thank you. We need to save that copy of that tape there, Tom. Would something like that get passed Congress?
Most likely not. Here's what I think is important. To be able to, and they're doing this now, and there's a what they call a blacklist of banks that are really, most of them are in these transnational organization drug trades, where, you know, they don't mule the money over the border anymore. That's been way too risky for a long time. So now they do a lot of wire transfers, and so the United States started blacklisting some of these banks, and they are screaming to take some of that pressure off. In fact, almost every country that we visited on that CODEL that I was telling you about, we heard that cry, and I told Chairman Goodlatte, who was the head of the CODEL. I said, you know, I want you to understand one reason we're hearing this every country we go to is because it's working.
Right.
It's working.
Right.
That's why you're hearing it everywhere we go.
You know, I look at your face. I've probably in my time being friends with you, and that may be overstepping, but I'm going to continue to use the friend word. You know, I've seen your face give me a lot of things about the sheriff when you were in that job, and about crime yep. prevention and about city budget. But when I look at your face and I ask you that question, I almost read into it that you feel like you are stuck and can't move forward, backward, left, right. Is yep. that the way Congress is kind of right now?
Yes. And let me tell you what I think part of that is. And this is why I brought up the ideologues earlier. These guys who want 100% or nothing, you know, I use this football analogy. These guys want to throw a Hail Mary pass on every play. If they don't get 100% of what they want, they ain't voting for it. And I don't care how good the bill is. If it doesn't have 100% of what they want, they're not voting for it. In fact, I had somebody in Ponte Vedra ask me, you know, John, what can we do to help you in D.C.? And I said, never send another ideologue up there. Send pragmatists, people that understand we've got to get things done. This situation should have been resolved at the border, you know, it could have easily been resolved back in the summer. Should have been resolved years ago. But here's part of the problem. And this is, I think, the biggest lie being perpetrated, one of the biggest lies being perpetrated on the American public. You hear this statement all the time. Well, you Republicans control the House, you control the Senate, and you control the White House. Actually, we don't control the Senate. And we don't control the Senate because you can't pass anything through the Senate because of a rule
right.
that says unless you can get 60 votes to end the filibuster, you can't bring a bill to the floor. They don't filibuster anymore. They just vote
right.
on a whip count. And if you can't get 60 votes, they don't bring it to the floor because somebody could filibuster and then you wouldn't be able to break it. But they don't make themselves filibuster anymore.
Right. Because that looks bad to the individual.
Well, a lot of work.
It's
right.
too much trouble.
Yeah, it's too much trouble. They don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So they passed this 60-vote cloture rule to end the filibuster. And let me tell you how important it and the impact that it has. It stops good things from happening. Last September, we passed a budget that had a $300 billion cut in mandatory spending. Then we passed all 12 appropriation bills to fund that budget, all 12. Sent them over to the Senate. They sat there. We went through three continuing resolutions on the budget where we just kept kicking the can down the road. Finally, in the spring, Senator McConnell rolls it all up into one big omnibus bill. All 12 bills, all 12 appropriation bills rolled up into one big bill. But he still can't pass it without 60 votes, right? So now what's he have to do? He has to go shopping with the Democrats, shopping with the minority. And so really the minority controls the Senate because he had to go buy 8 votes. In the end, that bill cost us $1.2 trillion a year.
Wow.
That, I'm sorry, over 10 years.
Right.
$1.2 trillion. So we don't really control the Senate yet. Now, we could.
With the nuclear option.
Yes.
Change the rule.
And that's what we ought to do. In fact, I had this conversation with Senator McConnell a year ago or 2 years ago. Remember when we had the train wreck?
Mm-hmm.
We were on our way to the Greenbrier, and when we got to the Greenbrier, I had this conversation and said, look, why don't you simply exercise, forget the 60-vote cloture rule, and simply exercise the majority that the American public gave you. And he said, John, you don't understand. He said, if we did that, we won't always be in the majority. When we're in the minority and the Democrats are in the majority, then they could simply undo everything that we've done. And I said, Senator, I'm fine with that. He said,
At least we're doing something.
What do you mean you're fine with that? And I said, well, look, I said, if they come in and they undo everything we did, they undo the tax cuts, they undo regulatory reform, they undo all this stuff, I'm okay with that. Because if the American public likes what they do, they'll keep them in the majority. But if they don't, Senator, they'll put us back in the majority. And as long as we continue to do what the American public wants, we get to stay in the majority and run this place.
There you go.
I said, but you're handing the majority over to 8 minority members, and we're never going to get the things done. I told him, too. I said, look, you don't even have to do it on everything. Just do it on the big ticket items that we told the American public we were going to do.
So outside your door in Washington, there's a big sign that says troublemaker.
Well,
pretty bad.
No, I'm trying to create this bipartisan work. But in fact, I joined the bipartisan working group up there. And every bill I've dropped, I've reached across the aisle and had a primary co-sponsor as a Democrat in the Committee of Jurisdiction. And I've had great success with that, you know, getting people to come on and getting bills passed. I've had 3 signed into law, which is, you know, unheard of for a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing it back home to Florida, we have now Senator Marco Rubio, Republican, mm-hmm. although questionable sometimes, and we have soon to be Senator Rick Scott,
yes.
Republican.
And I can't wait.
Right. Okay. So what does that mean to the people that are listening to us here in Florida? Is Rubio going to be able to work with Scott and vice versa, and will we actually bring some stuff home here that we need?
I think the answer to that is yes. And I will tell you, we've all had an opportunity to watch Rick Scott. You know, I had the opportunity to work closely with him as a sheriff for 8 years. I can tell you, he's what I believe is a pragmatist. He knows you have to make things happen. You know, the difference between an ideologue and a pragmatist, an ideologue just stands up and says, you know, I don't like crime. A pragmatic sheriff has to do something about it.
Exactly.
You know, it ain't enough to just say you don't like it.
All right. One of the things that keeps you coming back to the show is that I keep my word. You've been here 45 minutes. You want to stay to the top of the hour?
I'll go to 7.
There you go. Okay. See, I give you the choice. That way you keep coming back.
I'm good.
You're listening to Congressman John Rutherford joining us here in the studio, along with Karen Morton. We're going to take a break for just a second and hear some more of his thoughts on Washington and the swamp that still exist, although slightly shallower. I think more shallow because people are just deciding this guy's not playing around and we want to leave before we get discovered, but that's my personal thought. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes and we'll be back. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly. What you got to say? To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. Say, hey, hey, hey. That's 222-8255. What you got to say? Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Joining us in the studio tonight, Congressman John Rutherford. A great interview going so far, and Karen Morton also sitting in with us. He's agreed to sit on for another segment. I want to go to the phones. We've got two callers here. David, you are up on with the congressman.
Hey, David.
Yeah, hello, congressman. I want to let you know that I voted for you, but I am disappointed in you in that you are not a member of the Freedom Caucus.
That's right.
I would like to know why you are not a member and what it would take for you to join up with the Freedom Caucus. This being talk radio, and most of the big shows out there, Rush, Mark Levin, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity, the Freedom Caucus is looked upon as the better of the conservative group there in Washington, and they seem to be more stalwart in representing conservatism. I'd like to know why you are not a member and what would it take for you to join up.
Yeah, well,
thank you, David, for your call tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. As I mentioned before, I think what's important is not being an ideologue on these issues and dug in and demanding 100% of, you know, what I want as a true conservative, but also understanding that I have to move the ball down the field. I can't throw a Hail Mary pass on every play. So the reason I'm not a Freedom Caucus member is because I believe those guys are, they're ideologues that are dug in too deeply. They can't, you can't get things done. And I think it hinders. In fact, it stopped us from passing Goodlatte. The bill that would have had all those things, we would have secured the border, we would have had $25 billion, we would have had E-Verify, we would have stopped chain migration. There were so many good aspects to that bill. And because 10 or 15 years down the road, an illegal alien was going to have a chance to get citizenship if they obeyed the law, worked, stayed out of trouble, they wouldn't vote for it. They said, no, that's the amnesty. We're not voting for it.
Now, Liberty Caucus has got a lot of money behind them, and obviously that's why they were able to throw the vote.
Freedom Caucus.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't take a lot when, you know, well, actually the Main Street, which is the caucus that I belong to, we are much more pragmatic about these issues. And we're going to get things done. And I think what you see right now is the result of, you know, the ideologues not being able to get anything done. And we have to hold the line now. Now it's become a crisis.
John, can you explain what you explained to me during the break, the difference between a moderate and the Main Street caucus that you're talking about?
Yes. Look. I don't call Main Street moderates, because that means you're somehow a moderate on your philosophy and your conservative principles. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is they're not moderates in Main Street. They're pragmatists. They understand and they have the same values that the Freedom Caucus people have, but they simply understand that when you are in the governing body, you have to govern. You have to get things done. And that requires, the way our system is set up, that requires some negotiation. And so, you know, I'm very much, I don't consider myself a moderate. I consider myself a pragmatist. Same way I did when I was sheriff. You know, and I have very conservative roots. But it's just a difference of opinion on how we can best get things done through the system that we have in Washington, D.C.
It's better to win 60% than lose everything for 100%.
Look at Ron. Yes. Ron Paul was the perfect example of that. Ron Paul was in Congress for 30 years and never got a single bill passed that I can think of.
Right.
Because he just wouldn't ever give an inch.
And listen, Karen, the Democrats, and Ray said this earlier, the Democrats are incredibly good at what I call incrementalism.
Yes.
You know, they understand you take a little, you take a little, you take a little, right. And pretty soon you got everything you're looking for.
Right. Let's go to Paul real quick on the line. Paul, welcome, and the congressman is on with you.
Yeah, hi, Congressman Rutherford. I have four quick questions for you. First of all, thank you so much for voting for Goodlatte.
Yes.
The second item, do you know, is Congress at this time, or is there any consideration being given to a second round of tax cuts?
Yes, sir. Tax cut 2.0 is done. I don't know if there's another round that's coming or not.
Will this 2.0 that you're referring to be more weighted towards individuals instead of corporations like the previous tax cut bill?
Yes. In fact, it had a 10% proposed cut for individuals, just straight out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. Back in March, you voted for the omnibus, I believe that's what it was called, the omnibus spending bill. I'm wondering, sir, why did you vote for that when it contained $500 million for Planned Parenthood?
It actually did not contain $500 million for Planned Parenthood. It contained a block grant to the states for women's health issues that the states could then decide how they were going to spend it within their own states. If the states give money to Planned Parenthood, they're free to do that. But it was not being given by Congress. It would be given by the states. We block granted it to the states.
Okay. And my final item, you made reference to about 10 minutes ago. In March, you were on board an Amtrak train, and there was a collision when some idiot moron truck driver decided to drive his truck in front of the train that you were on.
Right.
Does this incident in any way alter your support one way or the other for Amtrak and public transportation in general?
No, not at all. It didn't have, you know, how Amtrak is funded didn't have anything to do with the accident. It was a garbage truck driver who thought he could get between two arms while they were down, which, you know, cost two people their lives. And
do you support Amtrak?
I haven't had any bills come before me for Amtrak. I don't know if I would or not. I'm going to give you an honest answer. I haven't really looked at Amtrak. I do know I do believe that the government shouldn't be picking winners and losers. So off the cuff, I would say probably not. But I also understand we have public transportation. You know, if you think about it in the context of a public transportation issue, so I know that's not an answer because I really haven't got a good formed opinion on that yet.
Paul, thank you so much for your call tonight.
Thank you, Paul.
By the way, Paul, you still owe me lunch. Paul's a great caller. Comes in. You know, he brought up the idea of Amtrak, and I know that you touched on it also, the picking of winners and losers. You know, is there a method by which we could privatize Amtrak and take it out of government control and subsidy and let it rise or fall? I mean, I haven't ridden a train since I was a little kid, and that was only because I wanted to ride a train. But yeah. I know that Amtrak doesn't handle a lot of the little rails, like between New York and New Jersey and between Washington and Baltimore.
Right.
So if Amtrak was privatized, would it really affect us all that much? It would certainly save a few billion dollars a year that we subsidize them.
It might not affect you and I because we probably fly everywhere we go, but there is a population out there that
does
use it.
Okay.
And, is there enough of that to say we need to subsidize it? I don't know. It's kind of like subsidizing the bus system here in town.
Don't get me started on that.
You gotta,
it's like the people mover, the rail system that has never been profitable since it was made. And now they're talking about taking it down and going with autonomous buses. I don't think that Jacksonville, Florida, when I look at some of these buses, they're empty most of the time. So I don't see that we're a mass transit kind of city. You either get there or you don't. You've been listening to The Last Hour with John Rutherford joining us, Congressman John Rutherford joining us here in the studio. And a promise made is a promise kept. He stayed here with us 15 minutes longer than he expected. Thank you so much for always answering
Bill.
My phone call and being there. And I look forward to the invitation to your future Senate campaign, followed on by your presidential run
there
here.
We go again.
So
there he goes again.
He's got plans for you, John.
I thought he was my friend.
I got plans for these, you know, being able to come to Washington and say, hey, I know this guy. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. New year coming up. New year, new thoughts, new things to complain about. Join us on the backside, won't you?